Assalamualaikum, everyone. Welcome to the American Muslim Community Foundation's presentation along with the National Muslim Plan Giving Council on donor advised funds. My name is Muhi Khwaja. I am the co-founder of AMCF and serve as our chief development officer. It's a pleasure to be here with each of you today. If you want, please throw in the chat where you're joining us from. Would love to have a conversation and see where everyone is from. I currently live in Tampa Bay. Prior to this, I lived in the San Francisco Bay Area for 10 years and was born and raised in Michigan. After attending the University of Michigan, I went on to work in the nonprofit space. So I have had the pleasure of getting my master's in public administration and nonprofit management. I have a few certificates in fundraising, working on one in religious fundraising, and I'm a certified fundraising executive. So a little bit about me, and would love to share more about AMCF and kind of what we do, why we do. So as you can see here, we are focused on the idea of charitable giving. And as you are very well aware, in Islam, zakat, sadaqah are such big principles for us. And there's this beautiful poem called Masalik al-Jinan, which is The Pathways to Paradise. And it is from Sheikh Ahmadou Bamba of Senegal, who talks about all of these ways in which we can enter into paradise, and charity being one of them. The main thing he talks about is if we had the opportunity to come back to this world after we pass, it would only be to do more good. And I truly believe that philanthropy, zakat, sadaqah, you know, these are things that we know can be done as an ongoing charity. And donor advised funds are a really unique way to do that. So a little bit more about AMCF and why we chose a community foundation model. A community foundation exists to be a publicly supported nonprofit, and it works alongside nonprofits that it cares about, and in support with the organizations that it supports, the board that it has, and it's a nonprofit itself. So a little bit more about what we do. We help lead sustainable and strategic Muslim philanthropy for today and future generations. We do this by cultivating donor giving and diversifying funding to advance charitable causes. We focus on the sacred, the strategic, the sustainable, collaborative, diverse, inclusive, and we do our best to do it with integrity as well. It's not just me at AMCF, but we have a very strong and committed board of directors. Omar Hassan has been on the board for 7 years now. He was a past treasurer, Dalia, and he's based out of New Jersey, New York area. Dalia Altumi is our vice president. She's been on for about 2 years, is located in the San Francisco Bay Area. Farid Farouki is a CPA. He is our treasurer and has been with us since last year. And then the three on the right have been additions in the last few months. So Nawal Ali is from Indiana. She's part of Islamic Society of North America, ISNA. She's our secretary. Amna Khan Mirza is from the San Francisco area. In the past, she's been with organizations like Zakat Foundation of America as their chief marketing officer. And Nabil Rahman is our newest board member as of last month, based out of Orlando. And each of these people bring a different skill set to the team. And that's what we really wanted to focus on, not just a group of friends and people that shared a common denominator, but really people that could help the organization grow. And the same thing with our advisory committee. These are people from all across the country in various backgrounds that we use on an ad hoc basis to engage and help AMCF move forward. Many who have backgrounds in program management, human resources, investments, different areas in which we need more help. As I mentioned, I'm our chief development officer and co-founder. And then all of our staff is part-time. So that's very important to understand. We ourselves are a small operation, but very committed to the space and really looking at how we can continue to succeed as an organization. And we have the same challenges that other small nonprofits would as well. So Ola Muhammad is our director of nonprofits. She's been with us for 3 years. She deals with all of the nonprofits, the endowments that they have with us, and the funding that goes to the charities and builds that relationship. Shatila Sagohar is our director of operations. She's been with us for a few months after some staff transitions last year. We have a marketing fellow, Crystal Habib. We have a staff accountant, John Foley, and a giving circle manager, Shazeen Mufti, as well. So more into the why. AMCF is the only Muslim community foundation across the country. There are over 700 community foundations. Many of them are regional, many of them are smaller, many of them are focused on certain areas. But AMCF really wanted to represent Muslim philanthropy. And I'll get a little bit more into that as well. And there are definitely other organizations that are Muslim-centric, that are grant-making, like family foundations and other well-known giving circles. But AMCF was solely founded as a community foundation in 2016, and we expanded on that through the years. So alhamdulillah, this is just a brief timeline, and you can find all of this information on our website under the About Us presentation. So I'm not going to go through every single one, just that we can focus on getting into the donor advised fund content as well. But essentially, we've been able to hire staff, we've been able to build this team, we've been able to have now over $9 million of assets, give out more than $13 million. And we do that with the support of so many people. Institutions that you may recognize on this slide have supported our organization over the last few years, and we're really continuing to see how we can build these partnerships even further. So again, we host over 180 donor advised funds. We have 19 endowments across the community. We've been able to distribute over $13 million, and we currently have $9 million of assets under management. We do this through a few core services. Donor advised funds, of course. These are like charitable savings accounts, and I'll have a separate slide that goes into further details of all the benefits, but it essentially allows you to choose your own charitable giving plan and give at your own cadence, even if you put in money now and you can give it for the rest of your life. And you can assign beneficiaries, whether that's nonprofit organizations, to receive funding. So that's why it's a big part of planned giving and opportunities to work with trusts and estates and distributing to charities that you want to support. Giving circles are great for people who want to give collectively with a group of friends or family members, and we host those. Currently, we have American Muslim Women's Giving Circle that we manage and an Interfaith Giving Circle Confronting Hate. On the nonprofit side, we operate endowments, and these are financial vehicles for organizations to invest and receive a return on investment. So we do that in a Sharia compliant manner. And same things with the donor advised funds, you're able to invest these as well. As far as the nonprofit side goes, we also focus on leadership development opportunities so that they can continue to grow and have a best practices approach to the work that they do. So we also have a Muslim philanthropy podcast, and you may have heard it before, or some families that we work with share more about why they like to give and how they like to give. And we bring on the nonprofits that receive funding from us to share more about the work that they do. The Muslim Affinity Group is a new effort with the Association of Fundraising Professionals and the Certified Fundraising Executive to help bring in more Muslim professionals into this fundraising space And we have a study group that is focusing on that exam requirement. So if you work with nonprofits and they have a development officer or major gift officer, and they're Muslim and they want to work on their professional development, this Muslim affinity group is a fantastic way for them to do so. The Muslim Philanthropy Awards, definitely my favorite season. We started this event in 2020, and it showcases the fantastic community members across the country who are doing this work day in, day out, recognizing institutions, corporations, nonprofits, individuals, and people involved at the board level, at the volunteer level, to recognize them for their commitments to philanthropy. The Social Impact Accelerator is a fantastic professional development series that we have been doing for the last few years. They're currently asynchronously available on our website. You can sign up for the sessions and receive the private YouTube link where you can get resources all on financial management, human resources, fundraising best practices, and so much more. I mentioned a little bit about the National Muslim Plan Giving Council, and this effort is really in place to work hand in hand with wealth managers, accountants, financial planners, estate lawyers to build a referral network for the promotion of donor advised funds and how they can benefit nonprofit organizations through trusts and estate planning. And I'm gonna skip through a little bit more. And talk a little bit about, what the process of donating today looks like. There are so many ways to give, whether it's crowdfunding or directly on a charity's website. You may be invited to an event. There may not be a lot of relationship building. It could feel transactional. Sometimes these experiences are long and drawn out. We're heading into Ramadan. We know the situation for Tarawih and feeling like there's a fundraiser every opportunity. But there are ways to also be more proactive. And that's why we want you to consider utilizing a donor advised fund. So gonna jump into that here as well. And in a nutshell, DAF is a charitable account that you hold at AMCF as an institution. So when you donate, you can be giving charitable assets that have grown, like stock or mutual funds or cryptocurrency. And you can enjoy immediate tax benefits because you are transferring those assets to AMCF. So as you make that donation, you get the current market value, and you can also continue to invest that for future growth. And you get to decide when to distribute those funds on your own timetable. So essentially, here's a more easier breakdown for you to understand that. So whatever you donate to AMCF, you get a tax receipt and commitment for that deduction the moment you make that contribution to your donor advised fund at AMCF. So right now you might be preparing your taxes. Last year you maybe gave to a dozen or more charities, and you're trying to collect all of those if you're itemizing. The good thing about AMCF is we can provide you that one tax receipt for your donation, so you only have to deal with us as you prepare for your taxes. AMCF will always align with your religious and ethical and social responsible values. So even though there are other institutions like Fidelity and Schwab and all of these financial institutions that offer donor advised funds, you may not be investing in Sharia compliant funds. To some people, that's really important, and to others, they're more flexible. But for those who never want to question where we stand when it comes to our investments, know that we take that very seriously and will not invest in companies or funds that don't align with Muslim values. The other important thing is that some of these institutions, like Fidelity, are also funding organizations that affect our community. They may be funding right-wing nonprofits that are creating research and rhetoric against Muslims and furthering alignment against Islamophobia and things like that. So we really take a stand on making sure that we work with all nonprofit organizations that are supporting our community and not hurting our community. A recent example of this is Fidelity Charitable removed the UNRWA from their charitable organizations to support. And of course, with everything happening in Palestine and the rhetoric around that, they're being cautious, but there's no reason to stop funding one of the only organizations that are helping in that region. So this is a conflict that would never arise at AMCF because we want to be mindful of your values and what you do. So again, you get to select the nonprofits you want to support. We do fund any 501c3 organization, and then we will get those information to those charities. So the reason why you want to be considering donating appreciated assets, by donating stock that has appreciated for more than a year, you are giving more than 20% than you would if you were to sell it because you're avoiding a capital gains tax. And you get to take the charitable deduction in the fair market value amount, while this just allows you to give more to the nonprofit organization. And if you were going to reinvest, you get to reset your cost basis and reduce future capital gains by purchasing again at current market value. So this is by far one of the best ways to give. If you have an investment account and you have appreciated assets, it's better to give those than cash. But for tax planning purposes, always talk to a CPA before you make these decisions. So as far as an example goes, user case one is giving cash and they give about $5,000 a year. They manually donate multiple times. They struggle to collect their tax receipts and they don't hear back from the organizations. But for those that have utilized appreciated assets and the donor advised fund, you are likely able to give more, because you have those investments and that's tied up, and you don't want to cash those out and take a tax penalty, but rather transfer those assets to AMCF. You do that transfer one time, and then, like I mentioned, AMCF is able to give you that receipt and add that into your donor advised fund. You get to reduce your taxable income. And you avoid a capital gains tax. You can invest that balance over time. You get that one tax receipt and are able to keep track of your zakat more easily. So as far as the donor advised fund reporting goes, both the organization and the donor receive details. And I see Amatullah Abukar's question here about more information and standards held for investments. And we'll get into that in a little bit as well. So thank you for asking that question. Essentially, the reporting, any nonprofit can inquire, you know, we received this funding from AMCF. Can you tell us who it's from? The DAFs can also request anonymity. So sometimes the donor doesn't want the charity to know how much they gave. So we'll just say, okay, it was only meant for a specific zakat program to help orphans or build wells or so on and so forth. So we will provide that extra detail to the charities as well. So when it comes to opening a donor advised fund, we don't have minimums, but we suggest a contribution of at least $2,500. We want to be working with you on your philanthropic priorities for at least 5 years. And we suggest that the minimum contribution to a charity is $100. And probably the most important and frequent question that we get, how much does AMCF charge? We're very competitive across the market. So we, for donor advised funds that are under $500,000, it's $125 a year or 0.65%. So if you have more than $20,000, it becomes that 0.65%. If your DAF balance is under $20,000, it's $125 a year. And essentially, we have a very similar fee structure for endowments, and our administrative fees make up about 40% of AMCF's budget, and the rest of our funding comes from the generous contributions of the public or people who support our Muslim Philanthropy Awards. So I'm going to look through the chat, see if there's any other comments, and then we'll have a few guests come on to share a little bit more, and then we'll open it up to Q&A. So I see Najam mentioned, it's important to note that if stock has depreciated, it's more advisable to sell the stock for loss, claim it on your return, and donate cash. Yes, we definitely only advise transferring appreciated assets. So we make that clear and always want you to talk to a CPA or whoever helps with your taxes. So that being said, I will pause for now and come back to the conversation with all of you. And if I wanted to take this moment to also introduce Monim Salam, who is the Executive Vice President and Portfolio Manager at Saterna Capital. And he's received his degrees from the University of Texas in a BA and MBA. And he has a wealth of information, and you may be familiar with the amount of mutual funds. So I will pass it over to share a little bit more about why they encourage their clients who have investments to open up donor advised funds.
Thank you, Mohi. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalam, rasulillah. In the name of Allah, praise, all praises due to Allah. Prayers and blessings be upon His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I think one of the I think you've been over, Muhi, a lot of the different benefits that a donor advice fund has, and I think the biggest one that we have is really the idea that you'll be able to take your appreciated stock, and you know, for a lot of people, I notice some people over here are from California, and you know, might be investing in or working for technology companies, and might have some very highly appreciated stock. And so the idea being is, as you mentioned, as long as you have a gain and it's over 1 year, then when you donate directly to a charity, then you don't have to pay the capital gains tax on it. So that's one benefit. But the other benefit, you know, I think that's really important thinking about from a long-term perspective. Is that this really becomes a way for us to be able to encourage our families to become more philanthropic, philanthropic as well. And what I mean by that is that, you know, I think a donor advised fund can act as an alternative to a private foundation or a family foundation, where you can easily start, you know, accumulating assets in there, and then, you know, as your kids get older, and or after you pass away, you can actually, you know, designate them to be able to get together once a year to figure out where they want to give, you know, for that year for the charity, and be able to take some of the proceeds out of it, out of the investments that you have in the donor advice fund, and be able to give it away to charity. That for you becomes a sadaqa jariya, an ongoing charity, and also at the same time, you know, it basically encourages, you know, if they're older. Definitely, if they're younger, it encourages them to be able to to give, or how, you know, learn the processes of really not only just giving the $5 or $10 or the $100 or the $1,000, but really, you know, making a purposeful giving, and really trying to think about what are the charities or what are the causes you want to, you know, support. What are the best charities to do that, and then really be able to do that as a collective, as a family. So I think it's a really great way for us, for Muslims, or encourage Muslims to really set up these donor advice funds for as an alternative to a family foundation, to do that. So I think those are the two benefits that we usually advise our clients as to why they should really think about a donor advice fund.
Right. And then there was a question from Amatullah about the standards held for investments. So Saterna is one of our main partners in investing. So can you share a little bit more about the standards and ethics that you guys hold for your investment portfolios?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for the question. I think you know, if I had to you know, break down the Islamic standards, the first one, what we call, is the qualitative standard. And the qualitative standard, what we're looking for, is not investing in any company whose primary business is in anything that's haram or forbidden. And so that would, you know, obviously include like alcohol, gambling, you know, banking, insurance, pornography, all of those, all the things that we are not, as Muslims, allowed to consume. We're also not allowed to invest in. So that's what the first screen is, which we call the qualitative screen. The secondary screen is what's, and then after that point, the secondary screen comes in from the quantitative screen side. And what the quantitative screen does is it kind of limits a company's exposure to any form of interest, whether it be on the debt side or on the asset side. So, for example, we want to limit a company's borrowing when it comes to interest-based debt. And so we're looking for a criteria. It has to be, you know, their total debt to market capitalization has to be less than 33%. That's number one. Number two is their cash and marketable securities and accounts receivables, as a percentage of their total assets, has to be less than 49%. And then the last one that we do is really looking at you know, any kind of ancillary income or revenue that the company might have when it comes to interest and or something that's haram. So you know, whether it be, let's say, Southwest Airlines that sells alcohol on their planes, or it be something like a large company that has a lot of cash on their balance sheet and they're putting that into a savings account or buying, you know, bonds in the marketable securities area. And so that is going to generate interest that comes straight to the bottom line. So we do have to consider that as well. So after they pass the first screen and the qualitative side, we go to the second screen, which is a quantitative I just went over. And before I get to the third screen, there is this, what we do is, as a requirement, you do have to purify the portfolio, and so the investments that you have. And that has to do with any, you know, the income that you're receiving, the dividend income that you're receiving on the funds or in the stocks. You do have to purify it from any haram sources that are there. So we, as a fund, we do calculate this number. It's going to be on a per share basis. We do calculate it. We do publish it on our website. And so anybody who wants to purify, they'll know exactly how much they need to purify from their investments. That's the third part of it. The last thing what we do is, on top of the layer of the Islamic screens, and what I think it's very, very important to say is that, you know, hopefully, these screens are moving towards the Islamic side as well, is that we have screening to do environmental, social, and governance as well. So what that means is that we're looking for, you know, positive things, companies that are positively doing things to, on the environmental side, recycle their water, be carbon neutral, you know, do carbon offsets, those type of things. On the social side, which is not only the screens that we talked about in the very beginning, but also making sure that they're treating their workers properly. If they're a manufacturing company, their safety records are better than the industry average, those type of things. And the last one is governance, which is, we're looking for companies that have a diverse board. You know, there's no conflict of interest in the board, all of those different types of things. So we have, in this particular area of the environmental, social, and governance, we have about 800 different data points that we actually use to be able to come up with our scoring system for each of these areas. Now, as I mentioned to you, this E, S, and G are not an Islamic screen, but they are overlaid on top of the Islamic screens to what we believe will be a superior methodology for screening, and which also helps us to be able to make better returns. So once we're done with those screens, then our analysts actually look at whether or not the company is a good company to invest in or not. So all of these things are layered one on top of another. We come up with the final universe, and then from there, our analysts look at them to make sure that they are good companies that we're buying. And in each of the different portfolios, we do have four funds, the amount of growth fund, amount of income, developing world, and participation. So in the equity markets, each of the funds roughly has about 40 different stocks that we invest in, between 40 and 50 stocks we invest in, and depending on the mandate, it's either U.S. Or it's global.
Right. One of the and thank you so much for clarifying all of that. Hopefully it suffices Amatullah's questions around the Islamic guidelines of investing. One of the reasons why we partner with Saturna as well is just being one of the largest investment companies that are focused on Muslim values, and these funds really align with that as well. One of the main things as well is when you invest with AMCF, it is a pooled resource. So those 180 donor advised funds are all investing together according to our investment strategy and your preference. So of a conservative or aggressive or moderate type of investment. And the benefit to that is we can then own their institutional shares, which have a lower expense ratio as well. So by pooling the resources, we're able to invest in those institutional shares and lower the cost of the donor advised funds as well. Samir had asked a question about AMCF's budget. So I wanted to share our website and show you where you can find that information. So on our website, if you go to About Us, the Financials tab will have all of our transparency documents. So we have a social impact update that shows you where that $13 million has gone. And also for our financial transparency, you can visit our IRS.gov profile. You can see our GuideStar and Charity Navigator gold transparency from last year. And we also have all of our 990 forms the last several years here. So we are, inshallah, going to try to do an audit. And I know that that's something that is also very important. We also have primarily been at about $150,000 for our operating budget. And again, like a very lean staff, part-time staff working on this opportunity. And we really want to be able to scale, right? Like we want to see thousands of donor advised funds in the Muslim community, hundreds of endowments for the nonprofits that we care about, but taking it step by step and slowly getting to that point. One of the things I wanted to show was the login feature. So under donors and then DAF login, this will be available once you open up a donor advised fund at AMCF. But actually, before I do that, I wanted to go to the donor advised funds page on our website so you can actually see how to open up and request more information. So we'd love for you to fill out this form. It takes you to a Google form, fill that out, we get your information, and then schedule a one-on-one conversation with me, 15 minutes, half hour, whatever you need to answer all the questions that you have before making this decision. And then that's when you would register on the portal after that. We would send you an MOU through DocuSign. And then we would activate your registration, and then you can donate in the portal as well for any cash contributions. And then if you're making an asset donation to us, you want to do that here and inform us about an asset transfer. So this is important because, we don't get information other than the number of shares and the stock and the date it was transferred. And we have to report this information to the IRS. So to better track this, if you are going to be sending appreciated assets, we just ask that you fill out this form on our website, and then it lets us know to expect it. And our information is here of where you would transfer it to. If you already have an account at Saterna, that is a separate process. You just let them know and they transfer it directly into our Saterna brokerage account there as well. But we still want you to fill out this form. So let me just make sure. Okay, good. No more questions in the chat. So for those that kind of want to see the interface that we have, we invested into this new platform in 2022. There's still things that could be better from a user experience standpoint, but again, this is like the challenge of being a small nonprofit, not having the resources to do further development, but it's functional. So this is actually my personal donor advised fund. We have a two-factor authorization, which I recently did, so I don't have to put it in again. But then essentially, it tells you the donor advised fund name, what your balance is, anything that's pending, and then gives you a little summary. You can also then go to make a distribution. This is if you want to do one to any nonprofit, if you want to make an internal disbursement to AMCF itself. If you want to donate to your donor advised fund, you can do that here, all within the portal. You get to see your gift history, which is super helpful. You can remember who you gave to last year pretty easily, see all the different charities that you funded. And this is actually the contributions that have been made into the donor advised fund. So that's gift history. And then disbursement history will be who you funded, and what charities you gave to. So different charities that I've supported personally in making contributions. And as you see, there's non-Muslim charities in here as well. So like I think that's one of the best things about AMCF is like when I give to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, a cause that's near and dear to me because I've had family who've suffered from cancer, they're seeing a gift coming from AMCF. They know that the Muslim community cares about their organization as well. So it's not just about supporting Muslim causes, but showcasing the broader aspect of participating and giving from the Muslim community to the general American community as well. So you'll get access to this once you sign up, and you'll be able to see more details there. But if there are any questions, feel free to drop it in the chat or put it or come off of mute and share. So I see Najem says, by default, is our contact information shared? Yes, your name will be shared in the grant distribution process. If I went through, I would search for the charity, I would select the charity, put in the amount, and then there's a checkbox that says, would you anonymous? If you don't select that, then yes, your name will be given to it. And there's also a comment section that will say, like, general gift information. You want to put in if it's zakat, you want to put in if it's for a specific orphan at a charity, so on and so forth. So you will be able to put that specific information in that we will make available to the charity as well. Jamil, I see your question. What is the minimum balance that must be maintained at AMCF? You can take your balance down to zero, but we will always make sure that the fees are processed before it goes down to zero, right? Or we will ask you to fill that difference through a transaction. So generally speaking, we do our fee calculation in December, January timeframe. So we just transferred that into our bank from our restricted bank account to our operations bank account last month, right? And it's like the cumulative of your account. So let's say you open up today and then you add in, for easy math purposes, $100,000 from now until December. In December, we will state that your 2024 administrative fee is $650. And then if your balance was, say, $20,000, we would just take it from your balance. But if your balance is below 650, we'll ask you to replenish it so that we can take that administrative fee there. Najam, another question. For funding our DAF, do you only accept ACH transfers or also credit and debit cards? You can do either one. On the donation form, you can give up to $50,000 per transaction. ACH is only a $5 fee, but credit card, of course, is going to be closer to like 2.5% fee. And you can cover those costs so that your DAF balance isn't lower than the amount that you gave. So you can cover the transaction costs as well. Can I make an asset donation for a rollover IRA? What are the tax implications if yes? So Jamil, not knowing your age, that is a question for how old you are. I believe from an IRA, if you wanted to make what's called a charitable remainder distribution, instead of taking your required minimum distribution at the age of 70 and a half or older, you can give from your IRA to a charity. But typically, a IRA gift shouldn't go to a donor-advised fund. So we as AMCF can accept it. And in those scenarios, what we tend to do are do an open call for nonprofits to submit to a grant. And you can be an advisor on those grant distributions. So that's how we've worked around IRA contributions to AMCF. But Monim, if you have more clarity over rollover IRA and tax implications, feel free to add in.
Thank you. Just a couple of points on that. I think you said it accurately. It is a maximum of $100,000 into the what's called a qualified charitable donation, QCD. So there's 100,000, and then the now after the recent law, the RMD starts at 73 rather than 70 and a half. So that got pushed out a little bit as well.
So if I could just follow up, so if you're less than that age, what are the tax implications?
Yeah, so working with a CPA, you can best define taking I think at age 55, you're able to take a distribution,
59.
59. So essentially, you would be taxed on that, but then talk to your CPA about what amount, if you were to give it to a charity, could offset that. So it's a little complicated in each scenario, but you can offset what you would owe in taxes based on your charitable giving. And when you do give to a donor advised fund, you can give up to 60% of your adjusted gross income. So these again are the very specific scenarios in which DAFs are favorable and you can utilize to the best of the law to avoid paying taxes. So we do definitely encourage you to work with a CPA to determine that. Luisa mentions very formative presentation. Thank you. I work with two organizations that work in Palestine. How do you select your charity partners for disaster relief? Essentially, if a charity is a 501c3 IRS approved nonprofit registered in the United States, we're able to fund them. And that is our criteria. We look at leadership, we look at their 990s. We look at what the community perception of the organization is. And at the end of the day, AMCF has the discretion to make a charitable distribution to an organization on your behalf. So that is the legal implication of it, is that at the end of the day, it's always AMCF's discretion, but 99.9% of the time will always go with what you are suggesting. Any other questions that we have?
Yeah, I have a question to follow up. If there is a rejection of the charity, does the account holder get the money back from AMCF?
Yeah, so the funds would be designated back into your DAF if it was not approved. Yeah, but honestly, with thousands of transactions, I can only think of one or two instances where we didn't send it, and that was because they were out of good standing, working on getting their IRS approval again. And then once they did, we funded them. So unless one of the families wanted to fund an organization that's working against the Muslim community, that would be like a board discussion that they would have to really think through. Do we want to fund this organization or not? But we haven't run into that. And of course, those are the situations in which we want to be aligning with our values to make those contributions. Great. Well, you know, I'm going to put my email address into the chat for people who want to open a donor advised fund. You can email this and our team will get it. So donorengage@amuslimcf.org. Again, I'm going to drop in the URL for donor advised funds. Click on that, fill out the inquiry form, and then we'll reach out to you with next steps of having a conversation one-on-one, answering any more questions that you may have, and then sending you the MOU as well. So I really appreciate your time. Thank you for learning more about Donor Advised Funds and the American Muslim Community Foundation. Thank you, Monim and Saturna, for answering these questions and partnering with us as well.
Thank you, everyone.
Okay. Take care, everyone. Assalamu alaikum.
Thanks, Sam.